for Steve Chong Show, part of Open Mic on CJSF 90.1 FM, the campus community radio station for Simon Fraser University. I'm your host, Steve Chong. There will be more independent music, a report on the Northwest League, with the background and latest on the Surrey Police transition. First up in the second half is the fourth band of the hour, The Chisels, What a F Nightmare. The track is Cuts Like a Knife. That was Cuts Like a Knife from The Chisels. What a F nightmare. I would like to report on the Northwest League, where the Vancouver Canadiens play at this time. It is a high A league, three levels below Major League Baseball. Game 4 of the 2024 NWL Championship Series between the second seed Vancouver Canadiens and the top seed Spokane Indians took place at Patterson Baseball Complex on the Gonzaga University campus in Spokane, Washington, with the hosts Indians leading the best of five series 2-1 on September 14th. The visitors Canadians got on the scoreboard first in the top of fourth inning as Brennan Orff hit a double off the Spokane starter Michael Prosecki, which played at Jackson Hornung from third for a 1-0 Vancouver lead. However, the Indians struck back in the bottom of fourth as Charlie Condon hit a single off the Canadiens' starter Grant Rogers, which played at Dylan George from second for a 1-1 tie, which lasted through regulation up 9 innings, as Jacob Sharp started the top of 10th on second base. Sharp went to third on a Brennan Orff single from Sam Weatherly, which put runners first and third with no outs for Vancouver. After Nick Goodwin struck out swinging, Jace Borofin hit a sacrifice fly off Weatherly to left fielder Charlie Condon, after which Jacob Sharp scored from third as the Canadiens took a 2-1 lead. Jake Snyder started the bottom of 10th on second base for Spokane, who went to third on an Andy Perez bunt single off Gyson Arbias and tied the game at 2 per an error at the home plate on a throw from first baseman Peyton Williams as Andy Perez went to second while the batter Cole Carrick got to first. The Indians Perez and Carrick pulled off a double steal, which forced Arbias to walk Diane George to load up the bases with no outs to bring up Kyle Carrolls. The first pitch from Gyson Arbias went up and in on Carrolls, who got hit as Andy Perez ran home from third as Spokane walked off Vancouver 3-2 for their first Northwest League crown since 2008 as the Canadiens' bid for a repeat was denied. The Spokane Indians are the 2024 Northwest League champions after dethroning the 2023 champs Vancouver Canadiens 3-1. Two Canadiens made the 2024 Northwest League All-Star team, first baseman Peyton Williams and catcher Jackson Hornung, while Brent Lavallee was named the manager of the year. Williams, a 7th-round pick from University of Iowa in 2022, had a .289 batting average, hit 20 doubles, a triple, 11 home runs, scored 42 runs, and batted in 50 runs in 77 games. Hornung, a 16th-round pick from Skidmore College in 2023, had a .258 batting average, led the Canadiens with 105 hits in 112 games, 25 doubles, 2 triples, 6 home runs, scored 43 runs, and batted in 47 runs. Lavallee, who hails from North Delta, has led the Canadiens to 3 consecutive playoff appearances while winning 212 games, the most in the current Canadiens franchise history for 4th all-time. The 2024 Northwest League champs Spokane Indians were also honored as Kyle Carrolls was named the MVP, Sam Sullivan as the Pitcher of the Year among 6 selections, as Minor League Baseball announced High A All-Stars on September 18th.
The Renfrew Ravine Moon Festival is back. Still Moon Arts Society is proud to announce the 22nd annual Renfrew Ravine Moon Festival. A fusion of art, nature, and community, this month-long festival celebrates the Harvest Moon, Still Creek, local art, and the diverse cultural traditions of the Renfrew Collingwood neighbourhood. Attendees can expect dazzling lanterns, live music, dance, food, art and nature workshops, and community performances, all including making salmon lanterns, mooncakes, and guided tours. Connect with the local nature as a community to raise awareness and bring positive change to restore Renfrew Ravine to its natural beauty. Learn more and register at stillmoonarts.ca.
Welcome back. The fifth group is Holders versus an Oath. Here is Hearken the End. The following content may have some explicit language, so listener discretion is advised.
We'll be right back.
Now I'd like to talk about the Surrey Police transition at this time. It had been the most polarizing topic in Surrey for the last 6 years. The then mayor, Doug McCallum, pursued the Surrey Police Service, which was approved by the BC government in 2020. Fast forward to 2022, Brenda Locke, who campaigned to stop the Surrey Police Service, became the mayor by beating McCallum with less than 1,000 votes on October 15, 2022. But Mike Farnworth, BC's Minister of Public Safety and Solicitor General, ordered Surrey City to continue with the Surrey Police Service on July 19, 2023. However, Locke's fight did not end right away, as her two petitions against the BC NDP government for a judicial review on being forced to continue with the SPS was rejected on May 23, 2024. Followed by her acceptance of the court's decision on June 10th, and culminated by an agreement between the BC NDP government and Surrey City on July 10th, according to a BC government news release. Surrey will receive $30 million a year to 2029, when a financial guarantee of up to $20 million if the SPS salaries are higher than the RCMP may kick in and continue until 2034, for a total of up to $250 million. Surrey will fully support the transition to the SPS and not impose a police tax in the next decade. In addition, according to the BC government news release, the SPB budget, originally requested at $141.5 million, fits within Surrey's financial budget and will hire 526 officers by the end of 2024, 67% of all Surrey police officers. On September 17th, the SPS Twitter page tweeted its team led by Constable Rita Law in Day 5, Cops for Cancer, the Valley Ride, where riders rode over 450 kilometers at the day's end. Two events occurred on September 18th. The SPS updated their numbers with 409 sworn-in officers, 78 females, 331 males, and 66 civilian employees, according to the policing transition page on the SPS official website. Followed by a Surrey Police Board meeting where the agenda from September 13th was discussed. The SPS has spent over $51.6 million until July 31st for 424 employees, 368 sworn-in officers, 49 permanent, and 7 temporary civilians, where the compensation for 6 were part of the one-time policing transition fund, which the SPS used just under $2.5 million from the projected use of $15.34 million. $44.71 million of salaries and benefits were paid to 418 civilian employees as of July 31st. On September 19th, the SPS Chief Norm Lipinski spoke to Joe Bennett of CKNW, where he claimed the recruitment is going very well. 409 officers hired. Just a minute, please. Yeah. The SPS will become the police jurisdiction on November 29th, when the BCRCMP will assist the SPS until they're no longer needed. 25 agencies are represented in the SPS with over 200 SPS officers currently deployed. According to the SPS Chief Norm Lipinski, the top goal between three levels of government, the RCMP and SPS, is public safety of Surrey. There was a joint press release in the morning of 19th, just before the SPS Chief Norm Lipinski spoke to Joe Bennett of CKNW, which is the base of what the SPS Chief Norm Lipinski said. In the statement, says the BCRCMP, as the provincial police service, will continue to operate in Surrey beyond November 29th, when the SPS will resume policing and law enforcement as the City of Surrey's police of jurisdiction. Thus, the Surrey RCMP will end on November 29th, 2024. The SPS also tweeted out the Vancouver Giants, who are based in Langley, showing up at the SPS training facility back on September 19th, one day before the Chief Norm Lipinski's interview with Joe Bennett, retweeted by Cindy Vance, a surgeon within the SPS, late last night. Also today, the SPS tweeted good luck to the Surrey Eagles as they open the season tonight.
From music composition to the soundscapes of our built and natural environments, the study of sound can be approached from many perspectives. The Faculty of Communication, Art, and Technology offers courses in sound in each of these three schools. Open to any undergraduate student interested in studying sound, the new Certificate in Sound offers the opportunity to gain recognition for a broad study of sound across a variety of disciplines. Talk to your advisor or visit FCAT's website for more details about the certificate.
Thank you for listening to episode 36 of the Steve Chong Show in 2024, part of Open Mic on CJSF 90.1 FM, the campus community radio station for Simon Fraser University. I'm your host, Steve Chong. Today at Simon Fraser, the university tweeted as the last day to provide feedback on SFU search for the next vice president, finance and administration. Coming up before, it is Voice of the North. Now to the last tune B44, it is Blue Darling's Folded Hands. The track is Ain't No Ash Will Burn. Sorry, for some reason it doesn't, computer just doesn't want to play it. So I will play another song, Blue Darling's Folded Hands, Fast or Slow. Sorry, Blue Darling, for some reason, it doesn't want to play here. So I will move on to a different song. So it would be Jason Cao Huang's Soliloquies with Hungry Shadows. Thank you.
From natural disasters to unforeseen accidents, emergency preparedness is a crucial element of maintaining a safe school environment. Canada's diverse geography means schools can be vulnerable to a range of natural hazards, including severe weather, flooding, wildfires, and earthquakes. National School Safety Week is October 17 to 23, and the Canada Safety Council urges schools and communities to focus on strengthening emergency preparedness protocols. Find out more at CanadaSafetyCouncil.org.
You are now listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, BC.